Welcome to Zebrella Tech's Trending Tech in Construction. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm your other host, Christina.
We're going to be covering what's currently trending in construction technology, and today we'll be covering augmented reality, drones, 3D printing, robotics, and more.
It's going to be awesome, so stick around as construction meets technology head on. Get ready, we're about to deliver the future.
Hey, Christina, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm doing great. That's a great theme song we got going on there.
It is. It's a catchy theme song. It's appropriate for what we're about to begin, the journey we're going on.
Yeah, so welcome to our first Trending Tech in Construction. This is our very first episode, and we're really excited to share this with you. What we're looking to do is deliver sound bites of what's going on and keep construction professionals up to date on technology changes that are going on in the construction industry.
Yes, where we'll basically be exploring different topics in technology and how it applies to the construction industry, how it's useful, what its benefits are, and really, at the end of the day, how it's going to help you guys.
Yeah, and this is so important because on a daily basis, we meet tons of construction professionals from all different levels and all different types of companies and industries within construction, and a lot of them surprisingly don't know anything that's going on in construction, and they'll know about a trend 2 or 3 years after it's already been on the market or developing concepts. So there's a bit of a lag in the industry.
Yeah, there is a big disconnect in the industry, and we are going to see it in one of the very first things that we discuss, which is augmented reality. It really hit the scene a few years ago, and it's just starting to make its up and coming debut in the industry as though it's brand new. So we do see the disconnect already.
Yeah. So like Christina mentioned, augmented reality really started gaining traction a couple years back when Microsoft introduced their headset HoloLens. But before we go anywhere with talking about that, why don't we just get everyone up to speed, because not everybody knows what the heck is augmented reality.
Yes. Everybody put your listening ears on, because augmented reality, in a nutshell, is a technology that superimposes a computer-generated image onto the user's view of the real world, thus providing a composite view that literally is augmenting your reality.
Yeah, and so you could see that with a headset or a tablet, and you hold it up to something, mm-hmm. and basically it shows you something overlaid on a pipe or
any piece of machinery,
a room,
equipment, anything really that can provide information, you will be able to see it.
Yeah, and I'm going to be a construction professional right now and ask you, why the hell does augmented reality matter to me?
There's so many reasons that we can list why augmented reality is important, but among one of them is really connecting people in the field and having a constant stream of information and communication between workers.
Yeah, so basically, whether you're using a headset or a tablet for this type of stuff, augmented reality feeds real-time information about a project to the workers, whether that's how many materials are moving in and out of the site, if there's an update to the design of a structure,
if you need instructions on how to fix something,
if a meeting has changed. Really, it keeps everyone on the project together in communication, and it organizes everything right before your very eyes. So there's huge benefits there. Another one, and I think this is the number one big selling point of AR, is that it is helping fix the skilled labor shortage. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's in construction now knows that there is a huge deficit of skilled laborers. And what we're seeing is that we have engineers on the field, and there's not enough skilled engineers or skilled workers in multiple places at a time. And there's a huge deficit, and augmented reality is really helping cure that problem.
Yeah. It's bridging the gap between an inexperienced worker and a more skilled worker, and being able to connect that flow of information so that you can remedy a problem in a timely manner without necessarily the amount of people it needs to be taken.
Yeah, and then the last one is really the safety.
Yes.
The safety issue. Augmented reality is helping with that.
Yes. Augmented reality is helping with the safety issue by primarily monitoring all of your employees that are out on the field. It can monitor their heart rate, how they're performing in terms of their what's the word I'm looking for there? Physical capabilities.
Yeah, their pulses, everything. Just making sure your workers are safe, because you know that if a worker gets hurt, you have to pay workers' compensation, insurance rates can go up, and that means bad news for a lot of companies when you have really big sites. So those are some of the things that AR is actually working towards fixing. And there are a couple companies that are doing some really incredible things. We'll start with a company called Daiquiri. You may or may not have heard of them. They have this industrial grade helmet, and it's heads up, hands-free display. In the actual helmet, there's cameras, sensors. It can 3D map, hook up with BIM, and create this really intricate programming that connects your worker to the entire website, to the entire job site.
Yep.
And you'll get real-time data and things of that nature.
Yep. And like we were saying, having that connectivity of information by connecting the inexperienced workers with the high-level techs and engineers, having them be able to relate instructions, how to work something, and really targeting that skilled labor shortage that we were talking about. Daiquiri, something like Daiquiri, is showing this through that.
Yeah, and for construction, that's going to mean that you can hire less skilled labor for less skilled labor at a lower cost, and mm-hmm. have your high level engineers in the office being able to direct more people at a time. So you don't have to go through that constant, where am I going to find my next employee? Yes. It really helps with that.
Exactly. Another well-known company, we've got Caterpillar and Scope AR, who have been doing lots of augmented reality-based support for heavy civil.
Yeah, so Caterpillar, everybody knows Caterpillar. They're a big-time machinery company. Scope AR is a company that is responsible for making augmented reality-based technologies. So they teamed up to create a support line for all Caterpillar users.
Yeah, and basically what it's doing is connecting workers who are using Caterpillar equipment with Caterpillar dealers. So if someone is having an issue with a piece of machinery that they're operating, the dealers can then easily troubleshoot or repair any equipment failure or issues that the worker is having immediately in real time, right then, right there. So you can connect remote field workers to experts.
Yeah, and obviously you don't need anyone to tell you of the benefits of that. Time is money in construction. And if you're taking a day or a couple of hours to fix your machinery, you are down. You can't build. You can't make money. You have to pay workers for that day, and no work is being completed. So that's pretty great.
Yeah, it's a great advantage. And one last little tidbit that we're going to throw in there about augmented reality, which I thought was very cool, was the Gilbane Building Company, who was using HoloLens. And basically what they did with augmented reality was they were able to identify through HoloLens that several steel frames they were going to purchase to use as support for some of their buildings' walls that they were constructing, that these frames, they were too long to fit the design. So before they went ahead and placed the order, they were able to have the supplier cut the frames to size, and they saved an estimated $5,000 in labor costs by not spending the man hours on having their laborers adjust the dozens of tracks that would have been originally purchased. I mean, it's an obvious advantage when you see the money that augmented reality can save. It's great.
Yeah, so HoloLens, again, for those of you who don't know, is a augmented reality headset created by Microsoft. Now, did they view their model of their structure.
Yeah, and they were able to see physically that these frames didn't fit the size, the model of the
building. Okay, so they looked at a 3D model through HoloLens of their of their structure.
Yep.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
I thought that was a really cool one.
Yeah, very cool. Well, moving on, we are going to start talking about 3D printing. 3D printing is huge.
Yeah. It's huge. 3D printing. I mean, where don't you see 3D printing when it comes to construction these days? You're 3D printing everything.
Yeah, and 3D printing makes a lot of people angry because construction workers think it's going to put them out of jobs, and I'm not sure that's totally the case. It's just, again, just a different alternative.
A different way of doing things as the times change. So do the methods and the means of building things. So we're going to jump into it with...
What 3D printing is.
So
3D printing, you take a nozzle, and this nozzle is completely automated. You program your CAD files into it, and it prints out the structure that your architect has designed. And basically, the nozzle just extrudes your material, which can either be...
Which could be anything.
Concrete, whatever you decide to print your building with.
Yeah. Go ahead. All right. So we're going to start with a company called Winsun, who's been making the rounds in a lot of different construction.
Yeah, Winsun has been around.
It's been for, a while. Yeah.
For a long... Well, when I say forever, that's like 5 years in technology.
They've been around the block a few times. Yeah. They're a Shanghai-based 3D printing company, and they were one of the first companies to really and truly start 3D printing buildings. So
back in 2000, I don't want to say the wrong date, but like 11 or something.
I was going to say 2012. So I think we're definitely in the ballpark. They started with a printing factory that they printed about 10 full-size houses in just one day.
And they were one story and about 1,000 square feet.
Yes. And then after that, they followed it up with an impressive 6-story building. And then do you want to cap it off with the creme de la creme?
And then they 3D printed a full-size mansion.
Yes.
But when we say they 3D printed, they didn't 3D print a house in full. They 3D printed in their factory in parts. So they'd like print the left wall, the right wall, the roof, and then they'd ship it on site where they could be assembled. But they were pumping out like 10 houses in 24 hours.
They were still
pumping
out. And I mean, just to prove the point, whether it was printed, you know, wherever it was printed, the fact of the matter was they were still saving 60% on materials. They were still using 80% less labor than was originally needed. They were still able to complete the work in a fraction of the time. So they really were one of the pioneers of this, and they really have a lot to show for it.
That's a lot of money. You can do the math, because I can't.
I can't. I can't do the math.
All right, so Winsun actually kind of comes back a little later. 2016, this was Dubai. We're going to fast forward to Dubai. And the Dubai government teamed up with Winsun, and they delivered the world's first 3D printed office called Office of the Future. Very innovative title.
Everything in the Office of the Future was 3D printed inside and out.
Even the furniture.
Yep, we're talking furniture, and we're talking a 2,600 square foot piece of building, not piece of building, a building.
A building.
And it was constructed in 17 days.
17 days to construct 2,600 square foot
17 days.
House.
And it only took $140,000 in labor costs to complete this, and that was...
Half the price of comparable structures. They only used an 18-person crew, too, so...
That's like a person and a half every day, I think.
Yeah. And Dubai has, like, huge plans to do so much more.
Yes.
They're actually... I mean... They produce, like, some of the world's most intense pollution, but...
Yes, but they're also looking to cut their pollution through 3D printing by almost 75%, I think. So, from just what they've done, they're on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. They have a museum of the future, also.
You can see the same theme is running throughout there.
Office of the Future, Museum of the Future.
Yes.
Yeah, they have that planned where they're going to 3D print that. They just created their... creating a 3D printing laboratory, so they're really serious.
Yeah, and R&D laboratory for drones too, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. They have a whole development on that, and they're really hoping to help resolve environmental and urbanization issues that they're facing in their country. And it was really amazing, because this isn't stuff, oh, this is the future, this is the future.
This is now.
They already did this last year.
Yep.
So that was amazing.
And moving on to something a little more relevant, this just happened in August, I believe, of 2016, but that was just several months ago. We're moving on to Apiscor. I believe that's the way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
I don't want to mispronounce the name. But they 3D printed their first residential house in less than 24 hours, in one day, using the world's first mobile 3D printer. And it cost them around $10,000. That's what's being said.
That's pretty awesome. And if you Google this Apiscore 3D printer house, it's like
it's like a curved.
It's a round house. Yeah. It's not too shabby. It looks pretty nice. It looks pretty modern. It's 400 square feet and it can last up to 175 years.
Yep. So. And I do just want to note that the $10,000 price tag includes a bunch of furnishings in the house, which, I mean, that's not a bad deal for $10,000.
No. 3D printing is really focused at delivering affordable,
sustainable,
construction. So, yeah. I mean, for companies looking to cut their costs just by using 3D printing to help grow their own capital, that's a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
But it's being used in lots of different projects around the world to really help deliver affordable housings to people who can't afford those housings.
Yeah.
So that pretty much caps up our quick summary on 3D printing news.
Which takes us to construction and drones, a favorite topic.
Oh yeah, drones is another one of those topics where everyone's like, oh my god, so cool, drones.
What do I do with it?
And like, okay, drones were out like forever ago.
Yes, but ironically, it was just the FAA just made it legal to fly drones in August 2016 again.
Yeah.
So for as long as drones have been out, they've also been kind of unmonitored and just unleashing terror.
Yeah. Before August, there was tons of construction companies testing drones and, you know, the lack of law and regulation didn't really stop them. They were out there doing it anyway. But like Christina said, this August, it was made legal as long as you have a pilot, as long as you're flying under a certain amount of airspace. So for commercial use, this is really big because now all companies can start using this.
And there's a lot of people who are using it. So why don't we jump right into
Turner Construction?
Turner Construction.
What isn't Turner Construction doing?
They're doing everything. And they're doing stuff with drones, too. Do you want to kick us off with what Turner Construction's doing with drones?
Yeah. So all of last year, this has been a continuous project that's still ongoing. But Turner Construction is working on the Sacramento Kings Stadium, and they are using drones to do a different number of things, and it's all pretty incredible. They're integrating their drones totally with BIM, and they're showing the real-time progress of their stadiums. They are, this is my favorite feature, they are highlighting high-risk locations. So if, like, on the south side of the building, construction workers are falling behind as opposed to the north side, it highlights it. And I'll use, for example, it'll highlight it in red.
It's a little proactive.
Yeah.
A little proactive
you can see what is happening and at what time, which is such a fantastic feature because anyone in construction now knows you have way less time to do things on contracts. You need to do things faster and cheaper in order to actually win a project in the first place. And the fact that they can highlight these at-risk locations to work more quickly is...
And allow you to allot your time where it's really needed. That's
exactly.
That's a great advantage.
It's really, really beneficial. And of course, monitor your workers and their rate of performance so you can, like, really, you know, slap them
on
the wrist.
Crack down on them.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's just what Turner Construction is doing with them.
Yeah.
With drones. We also have the U.S. Department of Transportation in Michigan, who have been using drones this year in 2017.
And last year
in 2016 to inspect bridges and roadways to search for problems in their infrastructure. So again, a little proactive maintenance there. You're looking to see what, you know, I guess maybe proactive is the wrong word, but staying on top of it and not letting the problem get past the point of no return.
Yeah, they also, they've been doing tons of work with that, and it's really awesome to see they're doing it in such a short amount of time and implementing these things. They implemented it pretty quick in 2016.
Yeah.
They did like three different projects and they were out there. They don't have to use as many workers.
Yeah.
Again, with drones, the fantastic thing about them is that there's no worker liability. No, like, no one's going to get hurt in
no
a dangerous location.
No one's going to take a lunch break.
Yeah, they were using it on their bridges, right? And if you're a worker's on a bridge, liability, I mean,
liability increases. It also can cover a lot more square footage in a shorter time than a person on foot can cover.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just think about the process of having our stuff on a bridge. Like, we need trucks to help stop the traffic. We need the workers to lay out the cones. We need the machinery to reach around the bridge and take pictures. Like, with a drone, you remove all of that. You just fly in it, take your picture, and leave.
Exactly.
So there's huge cost savings from equipment and labor. And the like I keep saying, it all integrates back into BIM and all of these systems. So you have data at your fingertips seamlessly integrated, which is invaluable.
Yes, absolutely. So then we also have, this is a little bit different. It's not exactly in the traditional sense that it's a construction company. We have Allstate Insurance in Colorado. And even though they're an insurance company, they're using their drones for roof surveying. And what they're doing there with that is, again, eliminating worker safety issues.
Yeah, so if your worker can't, if your drone falls off the roof, so what?
Yeah, it's a lot different than having Bob fall off the roof and break his back.
Poor Bob.
So, I mean, again, that's just a quick example, but there you have it with Allstate Insurance. And our last one that we have is the International Reality Capture Workshop.
Yeah, this one was cool. It was a recent project at the end of 2016, and they did this in Volterra, Italy. Basically, they took a bunch of students and a guy who's been working for a construction company for years with drones, and they took pictures of Volterra's ancient archaeological ruins, and they had a drone fly up over everything, and it produced all of these 3D dimensional images, which created the 3D models in BIM, and it recorded the archaeological remains so that, say, in another 50 years, like, if there's an earthquake in Italy and everything falls down, they'll have an exact 3D model of this location so that they can replicate, I guess, reconstruction efforts for the future to help restore and preserve.
That's excellent. And I don't want to say it's obvious, but it obviously connects back to construction by being able to do the same thing there. Preventative measures.
Exactly. Well, this is construction. If you do.
It is, but just in a more literal sense with building.
It all goes back to the same thing. We sound like repetitive drones.
Oh, repetitive. How do they know we're not drones?
Yeah, we probably are.
All right, but so yeah, that's what's going on with drones in construction.
Yeah.
And our very last hot trending technology is
robotics. I mean, there's so many trending technologies, and like, we have to shove it all in so people don't get bored. I mean, we're reaching the 22 mark, and they're probably like sleeping by now.
So we're gonna try and hit our fast forward button here and make sure you guys aren't sleeping on us. So we're gonna do construction robotics and how this technology trend is also helping you guys out in the industry. And we're gonna start with a little something called the Hadrian bricklaying robot.
Yeah, this robot's actually pretty cool. This one actually trended pretty hard.
Yes, it was a big trend for a while.
Yeah, in 2016, and people were pretty angry about, well, specifically the masonry people were angry at a robot that could basically outlay bricks compared to them. But this is our new reality of construction. There is no construction, and then we don't really care about technology. It's use technology with construction, or someone's going to create something that's going to run you out of business. And Hadrian is the perfect example. Yep. So basically, this little machine is completely mobile. It can move through the job site, and it can lay 1,000 bricks per hour. So what does that mean? It means it can lay out an entire shell of a building in just 2 days.
That's impressive. And that is in comparison to what typically takes 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's quite...
That's a big time savings there. And the benefit is obvious in this case. And they're also accurate. There's precision there with technology because Hadrian makes sure that the bricks are a perfect fit by grinding, milling, cutting the bricks to size, and getting them right where they belong. So you don't just save time, but you have precision and you have accuracy and you have all of these great advantages that you get with using robotics.
Yeah, exactly. This particular bricklaying robot is not actually out yet. They're saying that it's going to come out in this year? Yeah, right?
Yeah, 2017, I think.
This year, but, I mean, don't be deceived. There are other robots that are out there. One I remember from my memory, it was called In Situ. Yeah, in C2.
I remember in C2.
Is a bricklaying robot also, and that's already out there. There's so many.
Isn't C2 the one that laid out the bricks like it was laying a sheet of frosting?
I don't know. No, it was like a big white machine with a big arm, and it went around the room. That one was the last in development. It was working on GPS coordinates because it could move around the room with workers working beside it without, you know, running them over.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really important. But there's so much stuff out there like this. Yeah. We're just giving you a tiny little, like,
just
a sliver.
Taste of what's going on. But we also are here to stress that robots are not here to steal jobs, cut jobs, take everyone to the curb.
No, it's not this overlooming doom and gloom. Technology is stealing everything. Technology's been around forever.
Forever. It's not a dark overlord. It's the natural next step. It is the printing press to the handwriter's ledger. Eventually, we had to graduate.
Or that, like, roly thing that the Egyptians used to get their bricks. Their little things up the pyramids. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. I thought the aliens did that. But in all seriousness, a lot of countries are looking to robotics for help with their labor shortages and their own insufficiencies in the industry. I mean, for example, the Japan Federation of Construction Contractors estimates that there will be 1.28 million fewer construction workers by 2025 compared with 2014. So that's a statistic where robotics could really and truly benefit something like that. So it's an application out there for many, many different use cases.
Yeah, and I mean, forget 2025. They're having massive problems now with their aging workforce. Yep. And they're not the only ones. I mean, America is suffering the same problems. There's less skilled workers who cannot complete the jobs that need to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And Japan is already implementing tons of technology.
Tons and tons. I mean, right off the top of my head, really quickly, because it doesn't really relate to construction, but they're already implementing robotic taxis to aid the aging population in Japan to get them around quicker through transportation. So that's just a taste, just in the technology zone.
They have automated drones already that perform tasks. They've teamed up with Caterpillar to do multiple things because they don't have anyone. They're doing 3D surveying, mapping with drones, mm-hmm. and things of that nature.
They've just developed a construction disaster relief robot that has a lot of future construction applications, but also is a great advantage on disaster sites.
Yeah, exactly. So all of these things are, they're all encompassing. They help with shortage of labor. They help save money. They help save time, and time is money. Mm-hmm. So there's so many benefits to all of these things, and it is important to know about what is happening in your industry.
Yes, and we bring this information to you so that you can use it as knowledge to better equip yourself as whatever you do pertaining to the construction industry to jump on the ball, take advantage of it, and start seeing real valuable profits from utilizing this technology that's not going to go away. It's just going to keep coming.
It's like a brainstorming session. What can you apply to your business to make it better?
How exactly?
Yes, so take some notes while we're talking.
Exactly. Yeah. Play it on repeat.
Yeah, you never know. This type of stuff can get your brain moving, get a plan of action in place, set up a technology committee in your own business, mm-hmm. and try and test new things. Yep. Because if you don't test new things, you're gonna
fall behind. It's the stark reality. If you don't keep up with the evolving technology, you will fall behind.
Yeah, our CEO at Zebrella has a great motto, and it is change or die.
I really wanted to say
it. Oh, you say it.
Change or die.
Change or die. And unfortunately, it's super true. But I think we've gone on for long enough.
We've got about 60 seconds left.
And so we are really happy you guys tuned in, and we'll hope you'll listen for episode 2, which will be coming soon.
Shortly.
Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, guys.